make sure it catches my good side. We're still doing our videos and audio, so www.niuc.org.au /me. No, I don't know what it is, but look on there, it'll be great. I wanted to, as I said, we're going to touch on something that hopefully we can all relate to it sometimes. And over the next 3 weeks, open up some different things. And it might be a time where it might be a bit hard to confront some of these issues. It might be a time when you think, oh, I've never really seen that, or I've never really thought of that before. So hopefully we can be in a space where we can journey and explore these sort of issues together and as a congregation. So I want to ask a question first, as a double-edged sword one. I mean, I want to ask, have you ever been to a party when you didn't know anyone else, and you've gone to it because a friend has invited, and you think, oh, I'll come along to it, and hopefully I'll know someone else, but you get there, and you don't know anyone, and all you do is you sit in the corner, and you wait for the trays of food to come, or the drinks, or whatever, and then hover around that person, hopefully you can make a friend with them, or whatever, and it feels a bit awkward for you. Now, sometimes, now I know there's some of you out there that can talk to anyone and can walk up to anyone in any situation and go, hey, my name is Chris and I do this, and what's your name, and let's be friends. I know there's some of you out there that can do that, but for me, it took a long, long time to get to that point where I can do that. And even in certain situations, it can still be a bit draining for me because it's not my natural personality type to do that. And when I was younger, I think I might have shared with some of you before that whenever we would go on family holidays, my little brother was the most outgoing one out there. And so we'd go to a caravan park or a holiday place, and we would see other groups of people our age playing, and we thought, oh, they look like having so much fun. So I used to get my little brother to say, hey, you make friends with them first, and I'll tag along with you, and then we can all be friends together. So he would do the dirty work, and it worked well. It worked great. And then it got to a certain point where, hey, I'm too old for my little brother anymore. I've got to start doing this myself. And then it's happened like that. And then, as I said, you get to a party sometimes when you think, oh, when's the appropriate time to leave? You think, do I need to stay for at least desserts come out? Do I stay for the second round of drinks? Do I stay for the speeches? Do I stay till, well, you know, you have that internal debate in your head. And then, I don't know if you're anything like me, I've used excuses to get out of stuff sometimes. Kids are a great thing for that. I can say, hey, little Thomas is a bit sick tonight. Sorry, I might come back later. We'll see what happens. I just got a message from my babysitter and, hey, I gotta go. Something like that. And I've unfortunately used it. But the worst situation is when you get caught out on that. So you've done that situation. You've gone through the whole thought process of using an excuse. And you use the excuse. You walk to the door. All of a sudden, one of your good friends is there. And you thought, oh, I've just said I'm going to leave, but I want to talk to this person. So what do I do then? I don't know. So I talked to her a little bit, and then, I don't know, I just made up some excuse to say, hey, look, the babysitter called back. Everything's okay now. I can stay a little bit longer. And you go from there. But as I said, we've all been in that situation where we just didn't feel like a bit awkward, and we didn't know anyone, and people have not come up to us. And we felt a bit awkward in that situation. We felt like we didn't belong in certain places. And to us and to society, that sense of belonging is really important. And sometimes we overplay it and dismiss it and say, no, no, we have to think of other people first and everything like that. But to be honest, that sense of belonging is important to all of us and being part of it. Now, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be exploring this a little bit further and what it means to belong ourselves and help other people belong. And now I know that some of you, as all of us have, sometimes in our lives, the church has been a place where you're supposed to belong, but you haven't really felt belonged, or you haven't really felt welcomed, or it hasn't been that nice of a place where you think, oh, this is my home. And I know for some of you guys, you might have experienced it here, other churches, and if you have experienced it here, we apologize for that. We are definitely sorry for that. And we haven't heard that all the time. And sometimes we do hear, and it's a bit too late. So we do apologize for that. And right off the bat, we need to say that you're welcome. You're welcome here. You're welcome. You're part of God's family. You're an important part of God's family. You're not just thing on the side. You're not just a bit part. We are all hairs or heirs in the family of Christ. Hairs, no. Hey, look at that. Hey. I've got grey ones now. So okay. But no, we are all heirs in the family of Christ. And we all play the same part. We all do that. We're just as important to each other. And so right off the bat, I want to share that and have that overarching theme for the next 3 weeks that we belong in the church, in the family of God, whether it's this one here or whether it's somewhere else, the church universal, but we belong. And sometimes we don't portray that message as well as we should. And for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to use a personal story of mine as a backbone of the series. And I'll be going over it a bit in different parts and exploring a little bit further. And you might have heard it before, but it's important in the scheme of things, of what we're talking about now. And so when I was 16, I used to live in Melton. Yes, Melton, the middle of nowhere, where people just drive through. That's great. But I used to live there in Bendy too and go western suburbs. I went out there the other day, it's flat as anything, and it hadn't changed. And I thought, oh, yes, eastern suburbs it is all now. Anyway, I used to live out there all my teenagehood and before that and when I was growing up. And it was a great place, even though it gets a bit of a bad reputation. It's a great place. And so when I used to play soccer there, and I used to have fun. I used to do it to a fairly high level. And it got to a point when I was 16 or 17. Now, Melton is a country-ish town, very Anglo-Saxon based back then, and everyone used to play football. And so we had a fair few people that would go on to AFL level playing for Melton, but soccer, hey, you were a weirdo if you played soccer. And I still am a weirdo, it's okay. But, you know, if you wanted to do something, if you wanted to make yourself better, if you wanted to achieve something, you couldn't really do it in Melton. You had to go elsewhere. And so I was getting a few representative teams, and I was approached by a fair few bigger clubs to say, hey, come out and play for us. And it was a really tough decision for me because 16 and 17, you're highly influential by your friends. And I had a great bunch of friends who I used to play with. And I was starting to play in their senior team as well, and the adults were respecting me and making me feel welcome as well. So I had a really tough decision, but I knew for myself the only thing I wanted to do when I was younger was play sport. I didn't worry about school. I didn't worry about God. I didn't even worry about girls. Back then, all I was chasing was this round ball. And it was such a good time. And I wanted to pursue that further. And I thought the only way that I'm going to do that is to change clubs, is to change my environment, get out of my comfort zone and test myself a little bit further. So I did that. So the second or third team came knocking and I said, well, contemplated and I prayed about it because I was going to church at that time. I was a Christian, but I never really was on fire for God. So I prayed about it and I thought, well, this is the right time to move. So I went there. So I went to a new team and I stayed there for about 2 or 3 years, playing both summer and winter training, 3 or 4 nights a week, to this place, which was a lot higher level than what I was at. And don't get me wrong, they were two and three years of my best time in my career. I was able to play with and against some of my soccer heroes. And I was able to name drop and say, hey, I played against this guy and that guy. Had a great time. But for those 3 years, it was tough. It was tough for me because I never really felt like I belonged in the team. Now, I gave myself excuses for why I didn't belong in that team. Like I lived in Melton, and it was 25 minutes or 20 minutes to get to the other team. And so the people around me all went to private schools, and I went to a public school. Or, you know, they came from European backgrounds, and I was an Anglo-Saxon background as well. So I had all these excuses. So, no, it's okay. This is why you don't fit in. This is why you don't belong. But no one really ever came out and said, okay, come on, this is where you are. You're welcome here. You're part of the team. I always felt like I was working up against the grain. And so it was always hard for this, something that was so important to me, to feel like I wasn't part of it. And As I said, I was going to church. I had this other lifestyle. I had school back in Melton as well. Jeez, that was a tough experience. I had school back in Melton as well. And I was living this life, but everything was trying to be focused on soccer. And so I had these other things going on, but I just didn't feel like part there. And so I happened, I had a bad sporting injury when I was about 17 or 18, when I was about 18. It happened over my 18th birthday. And that's another story. It's a graphic story. I love telling it. So if you wanted to hear more about it, tell about it later. But it's a story nonetheless. And at the end of it, I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision. Do I stay in this thing that I've loved for so long? Or do I do something else? And at that time, I was starting to get involved in church a lot more. Friends were saying, come along to this. Other people were saying, come along to a youth group. Getting more involved. Start helping out at junior youth group, which is a grade 5 and 6 thing. And so my friends, who again, they didn't go to the same school as me. Mostly went to private schools. They were some a little bit older. I didn't get to see them apart from Sunday. But these guys were welcoming and saying, hey, come along to this. Come along. You belong here. We'll help you out. We'll do this. You know, you want to lift out, we can pick you up. And so when I was at that stage, I had this decision to make. I thought, well, what am I going to do? I've dedicated so long to be part of this. I wanted to be part of this soccer, and I think I've got a career ahead of me in this. But I thought, no, I'll give it a break for a year. And I thought, I'll go back to where I feel I belong. And so that has made me to where I am today. That has formed my faith to where I am today. That whole thing of being involved and being welcomed, and the fact that I felt I belong and gave up a promised career that I loved has got me to where I am today. Now, as I say, like, I think that's a pivotal moment in where I am and who I am today. And I'm sure if we look back in our own lives, there'll be pivotal moments in our lives where we thought, yes, and it could be good and it could be bad. It could be, say, I strayed away from this because of this reason. Or because I didn't feel welcomed here and I didn't feel accepted here. So I strayed my path and it went somewhere else. Or I did feel really welcome here and I did feel accepted here. So this has helped me strengthen the person who I am. And as I said, like, I'm sure we can reflect and think of different areas in our life where this has happened ourselves. Maybe not as extreme as that, but we have felt that. And as I said, there's been tons of the stories of the church where people have felt accepted. And as I said, there has been ones where they felt excluded, but we won't touch on those for the moment. We want to touch on the ones that have been accepted. Because Jesus was all about accepting people. Jesus was all about welcoming anyone into the church and welcoming strangers and weirdos, because I call myself a weirdo, I am, into the church. And saying, hey, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, you're accepted, you're a person of God. And I want to touch on one of these stories now to get back into what it was like back then and the essence of what Jesus was about. And I know we've talked about it before, but it's the story of Zacchaeus and Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And so I'll read it here and follow it up from there. Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see over him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. What a powerful illustration. What a powerful story of Jesus' love and acceptance for all people. See, we find out that Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And back in those days, we know that tax collectors were the scum of the earth. They were Jews appointed, or they weren't even Jews, they were appointed by the Roman soldiers to say, okay, you collect all the money from that. And how you make your living is what you can skim off the top of other people. So I would charge you $10. The tax would be $10, and I would charge you maybe $11 or $12. So I would keep that extra dollar or $2. And so the Jewish people would get that reputation regarding that. And Jewish people would often not be this role because of their faith would tell them not to do that sort of thing. And so this guy was not only a tax collector, but he was one of the chief tax collectors. So we don't know much about what that meant, but it could have been he could have had other tax collectors underneath him. He could have had his own, I don't know, franchise of Zacchaeus or Us or something along those lines who had his own tax collecting business. But he was a chief tax collector. And not only that, and so one, your family would disown you. Two, you would never be able to worship inside a synagogue. And three, the people around you would look at you as bad as a murderer. So, hey, you're taking money off not only me, but everyone around me, my family, my friends. You're making it harder for me to live, but I have to do this. So people despised him. Not only that, he was short. He was not that big. So he would look in a crowd and people would always look down to him, looking at some stuff there. Now, I had that problem when I was younger, but not too much anymore. So, but he would always be looked down upon. And so you can imagine how Zacchaeus would have felt. He would have had his own posse of friends, but because even he was making off money off the people that were making off money, that he still might have felt a bit outcast. He might have been a bit out of it. You're not too sure how well he belonged in society. But you know, he felt a little bit outcast because he had to climb a tree to see it. He had to climb a tree to see Jesus. He wasn't just put on someone's shoulders. He wasn't pushed to the front of the line to see, okay, you can see him first. He had to make his own way to climb up a tree so he could see Jesus. And so, again, you can imagine when he's climbing up the tree, maybe people are throwing insults at him or maybe giving him dirty looks or whatever. But he still wants to see Jesus. And so as Jesus walk along, you can see, oh, well, is Jesus coming now? Who's this guy? Oh, I can see all the crowd throwing up here. Not throwing up, but throwing around him. Sort of thing. I can see him all around now. Oh, I know. you can see all the throngs of people around him. And you can see Jesus there. He goes, well, this is the person I've come to see. I just want to see what he's doing. I just want to hear some words of what Jesus is saying. And you can imagine, like, maybe there was other people up in the tree as well, or people around the tree, again, trying to scurrying around to make sure that they see Jesus. And so Jesus comes closer to where he's at. He looks up to Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, I want to spend time with you. I want to have dinner at your place. Now, you don't know what else is said, or if you knew about Zacchaeus beforehand or knew his role, but he looked up there and saw what Zacchaeus was doing and the effort that he went to. And he said, look, I want to hang out with you. I don't care what anyone else says. Because it said when he got down, the people began to murmur. And Zacchaeus is nothing like a scum of the earth. Why are you talking to him? And so the people began to talk, but Jesus didn't have a bar of it. Jesus said, no, make way. He's coming to me. Get my security guards out. Let him form a path. He's coming to me. See, Jesus went out of his way to make people feel welcome. Regardless of what other people around him were saying, he went out of his way to make Zacchaeus feel welcome. See, the thing that grabs me out of this story as well, that the unconditional aspect of it. Jesus didn't say, hey, look, I'll come and sit with you if you give all your money back that you've stolen off everyone else. Or he didn't say, I'll come and sit with you if you have bring 10 friends with you as well. He didn't say, hey, look, you know, conform to this belief and then I'll sit down with you. He didn't say, hey, look, believe me straight away. He just said, no, I just want to hang out with you. I want to spend time with you. And see, this is a great sign of love. We find out how much this transforms Zacchaeus' heart because he volunteered himself to say, look, I want to sell all the heart of my possessions and give it to everyone. He volunteered to do that because his heart was transformed by that encounter, by that feeling of, hey, now I belong. I feel welcomed here. So I feel welcomed by this person that I want to do everything for him. What an awesome feeling of acceptance. And see, when I think of the church, I think, hey, that's what it could be. But so often, we have fallen short of that. This outcast who didn't find part of society has found his place next to Jesus' side. Regardless of what other things, regardless of what he thinks of himself, he's found a place by Jesus' side, the place where he belongs. And the thing about Jesus is he is offering us that place as well. He offers that to us, to you, to me, to all of us. See, sociologists have said that this Western culture is turning us into a nation of strangers. And studies show that 4 out of 10 people experience feeling intense loneliness. It means they don't belong, they don't feel welcome. See, our Western culture produces people that more identify with TV characters and movie characters than they do with each other. And so online fellowship is booming because of those reasons. Because you can be anonymous. You can have that distance between people. You can leave it there and think about your own self afterwards. See, there are signs of people longing for fellowship and community. There's a story of every week, this little old lady came to a post office to buy 2 stamps. And one day the guy over the counter said, look, you know you don't have to wait in line to buy the stamps. You can just get them from the machine over there. And the lady said, well, I could do that, but who's going to ask me about my arthritis? And so this lady was, the community and longing that she wanted was found in talking to the postal worker. See, people are longing for connection. And so I want to ask you the question, where have you found your sense of belonging? Have you found it within the church? Have you found it within this idea of Christ that we've been talking about here? And I know for some of you, it's been a struggle. As I said before, sometimes the church hasn't been a place of that. And I want to apologize for that. But I want you to know that you do belong. That just like Zacchaeus, Jesus is offering you that space next to him. Saying, no, you belong with me. There's other places in the Bible where it explores this even more. The Bible uses a lot of metaphors to describe the church, but the most persistent is that it's a family. Paul, in his writer to Ephesus in the Ephesians, says, now you are not foreigners or strangers any longer, but citizens together in God's holy people. You belong to God's family. You belong to God's family. Regardless of how anyone else has made you feel, regardless of how you feel yourself, you are part of God's family. Sometimes we overlook that. Sometimes we gloss over it to think, oh yeah, no, I am that. So think about it for a second. Think about what Jesus did. We moved in the last couple of weeks from the Easter story of what he did to you to make you part of God's family. So you belong in God's family. And so I want you to pause to think, where do I belong? Has the church made me feel like I belong? If it hasn't, don't despair. Don't despair, because Jesus makes you feel like you belong. Sometimes the church wraps itself up in bells and whistles and forgets the core inner values. And so now we're shaking all that off and saying, hey, let's forget about what we've done. Let's forget about the mistakes that we've done. Let's talk about where we are now. And the first thing is that you belong. And if you have felt you belong in this church, then that's great. That's awesome. We want to know more about how you are feeling. So often in church cultures and in our culture and in your teenage and adolescent culture and youth and young adult culture, sometimes we just share our feelings with ourselves or a few people and that's it, and we don't really act upon it. So we want to do something about that here at our church. And that's why we've got the suggestion and prayer box that we are plugging relentlessly. And thanks again to Kate and Phoebe for doing that sort of stuff. It's great. But we want to use that. We want people to use that. If you've got suggestions, if you've got feedback to say, hey, look, I haven't felt welcomed here. Or we could be doing this a little bit better. Or there was a time when my friend came and this happened. We want to know about that because so often we don't hear about that. And also, we want to start plugging a survey that we're doing. We want to know what your feelings are. And so at www.niuc.org.au/survey, thank you. I'll remember that one eventually. We want to know what you're feeling. We want to know how you are going at your faith and in belonging and your sense of worth here. Because so often we don't share with each other. As I said, we just share with one or two people and that's it. As a church, I want us to move forward. I want us to step and think, okay, where do I belong? How do I belong somewhere? What can we do? And I know that we at NIUC have made mistakes. And so we want to rectify some of that. But as I said, to begin with, and we'll be talking that in the weeks coming, to say, okay, what can I do to make other people belong? What role do I play in that? But for tonight, I want us to ask the question of ourselves. Where do I belong? How do I feel like I belong? And if not, as I said, if you feel like the church has been a place where you haven't belonged, break that down. Look at the cross and say, hey, I belong here because of that. Because Jesus has made it there. And as I said, if the church has made you feel belong, rejoice in that. Let us know about that. In the next coming weeks, as I said, we'll be exploring what role do we play in other people's lives. But at the moment, have some reflection on yourself. So let's close in prayer with those thoughts. Hey God, we just want to give our own lives up to you. We thank you that you are a God that loves us and accepts us for who we are. Regardless of what we have done, regardless of where we have come from, that you accept us. That you died for us on the cross, that we are part of your family. And Lord, sometimes we don't feel that. Sometimes the places that are around us that are supposed to make us feel like we belong fall short of that. So Lord, when that happens, give us the courage to approach that, but also give us the courage to know that you are there and you accept us. And in you, we will always have a place where we belong. And if we are comfortable in that, let us ask the question, what am I doing to help other people belong? Search our own lives. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.